I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Former President Donald Trump turned himself in last night in Georgia to face charges that he tried to undermine the 2020 election and to remain in power against the will of the American people who chose to vote him out. Now, his mugshot joins a gallery of images taken of his alleged co-conspirators as they surrendered in Atlanta. Trump continues to insist that he is innocent, and he paints himself as a victim.
What they're doing is election interference. They're trying to interfere with an election.
The process took less than half an hour, with the former president being escorted in and out of jail, where supporters stood by their man.
He can be convicted, and he can run this country from jail. I wouldn't
That's
care.
Right.
We'd still vote for
You'd
it.
You'd be okay with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Trump was charged with 13 counts, including racketeering, criminal conspiracy, and making false statements for his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election, stemming in part from this call with Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger.
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
Did you hear Donald Trump at that point? Did you hear him say at that point, go manufacture, create additional votes? No, we just said we need to find, and this is what the number we need to find is, that will put us over the top. That is a far cry from the story you've been getting from Fannie Willis, the Georgia prosecutor, as she's trying to make her bones on the indictment and now the mugshot of Donald Trump. There's a big difference in what he said in that call to Raffensperger that she is pulling out and using as part of her, quote, evidence against him. Trump pointed out, and he's back also on, in addition to his social media, he's returned to Twitter, formerly known as Twitter. But what he wrote is, you have a radical left, low-life district attorney, Fannie Willis, for a perfect phone call, having the audacity to challenge a rigged and stolen election, the evidence is irrefutable, all in caps. And based on what she claims and based on what he was asking for, as you heard the recording, here are the votes I need. I need at least one more. That's what we're missing. He didn't say go manufacture. He didn't say create. He said go back through, recount. See if something's been missed. Is something pushed aside? That's a simple ask as any candidate is allowed to do. Do we have every vote counted? But, of course, it's Donald Trump making the request, so it must be illegal. Thank you for joining us. Here we are once again, this date of August 25, 2023. This is the first hour of Larry Connors USA. Second hour will follow immediately. And when we're on the air, we are streaming for you at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. Easy to find us. And if you can't catch those, you can always go back and pull them up as either a video or audio podcast at Larry Connors USA. .com. I'm real easy to find. Now, one thing that we saw happen immediately after the mugshot, I mean, we all knew the moment they took a mugshot of Donald Trump, that was going to be campaign material. If you recall previously, when he was booked on charges in Mar-a-Lago, there was a fake mugshot that went out. It was not a true mugshot. But it was sent out by the campaign, and you know, a lot of folks are buying the shirt up, even if they knew it was a fake. They didn't care. Now this is a legitimate mugshot, and they're already merchandising it. They are merchandising it. To that extent, you've got, again, back to that CBS report as you were hearing, and Trump making a denial he did anything wrong, and then what Trump is doing with that mugshot.
The former president already trying to capitalize on the moment, selling merchandise on his campaign website. And for the first time since being banned in January 2021, he returned to X, formerly known as Twitter. He posted his booking photo writing, "I will never surrender our mission," and included a link for contributions.
What has taken place here is a travesty of justice. We did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong.
And it's interesting to note, they are quick to point out on CBS, as they did with most state-controlled media, he's trying to capitalize and make money on that mugshot. And yeah, they are. They're putting it on coffee mugs, his mug on a mug, on T-shirts, on caps, banners. But you know what? Joe Biden is also issuing a plea for donations. Perfect time to make a donation to my campaign. It's politics. Get over it. For those of you on the left, think, how dare he take something like that and try to make money on it? How dare you make these charges which are so baseless? And in fact, Alan Dershowitz says, "I have never voted for Trump. And if he runs again, I probably won't vote for him this time either. I won't vote for," well, he didn't say he wouldn't vote for Biden, but indicating he won't vote for Trump anyway. But Alan Dershowitz, former Harvard Law professor, now Harvard Law professor emeritus, said that mugshot, that was not even necessary.
Utterly unnecessary to do a mugshot. The purpose of a mugshot is to make sure the person doesn't escape anonymously. He is the most photographed person in the world today. This was just part of the political process. Now, both sides are politicizing it. Trump is using it to raise money. The other side is using it to try to win re-election. That's not what criminal justice in America is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about one standard of justice for all, and it should not be used against people who are running against the incumbent president during the election campaign. There'd be plenty of time to try this case after the election was over, but that's not the purpose.
No, it's not the purpose. In fact, they want it to happen before the election, and they've got what they want so far. But they've just unleashed a storm, a tiger, a whirlwind. They don't know what's going to happen. They're not going to be able to control this wildfire once it starts. And I'm telling you over and over again, the very fact that his mugshot is now being plastered everywhere, it's going to infuriate more. Many who were kind of indifferent, they're going to get really upset because they're realizing if they can do that to him, what can they do to me? You know what they can do to you. They can destroy you. They're not going to be able to destroy Trump. And he's got the money, and plus he'll raise more money this way. I don't know if there's a limit on how many shirts and mugs and so forth you can order, but there'll be a lot of money raised for that for part of his defense. And some of the other defendants named in the indictments have now requested, can you help us with our defense? And he probably will. But let me give you a take from CNN and NNN on how they saw this.
Proving a criminal state of mind means that the district attorney has to prove that Donald Trump was aware that what he was doing was unlawful. Everything we know about his conduct leading up to the certification of electors is that he thought he was availing himself properly of the legal process. And Exhibit A, and this is the most exculpatory for the president, is his conversation with the Secretary of State in Georgia, in which he is complaining about ballot irregularities, faulty machines, valid votes that aren't being counted, invalid votes that are being counted, election laws that are being violated, petitions that are being ignored, and in the end, he is demanding a recount and a review, which, by the way, Brad Raffensperger has a duty to do. So he's asking him, do your duty.
Do your duty. Now, that's Greg Jarrett with Fox News talking about what still needs to be done. So I wanted you to hear that, because now as I tell you how CNN and NN is writing this up, listen to how they describe it on their webpage. First of all, they point out He is now known as inmate number P01135809. You got that? That is now the identification number for Donald Trump in the criminal justice system of Georgia. P01135809. And then they go on to talk about the mugshot. And they say the presidential mugshot is stark in its simplicity. They add millions and millions of photographs have been taken of American presidents, but none like this. No kidding. None like this. And then they add, the mugshot of Donald Trump instantly became one of the most iconic images of anyone who has served as commander-in-chief. You see what the leftists just did? They elevated him to a status no one has been before. They think it's bad for him. I don't think it's going to play out that way. But as they continue writing it, inmate number P01135809 stares out of the booking photo, his face like stone. It's impossible to know what Trump is feeling. I don't know why they stop. I mean, often they would tell you what you're feeling and thinking anyway. But in this case, they decided, well, we won't try to get into his mind. The prosecutors are trying to. They're trying to say, we know in his mind he didn't really think he won the election. He's just saying he did. They don't know that, but that's their claim. They go on to say, but that image taken moments after the motorcade drove into the jail does not radiate his trademark bravado. His eyes bore into you, and the seal of the Fulton County Sheriff's Office is at a top corner of the reminder is that Trump, for all of his former power, is beholden to a process where he cannot control his own fate. CNN just declared the man is guilty. He has no control over his fate. Well, you heard Jarrett point out these are really invalid charges. He simply asked Rosenberger to do your duty. And Alan Dershowitz points out these prosecutors aren't concerned about a crime.
The strategy is to get a quick trial, get him convicted in jurisdictions that are overwhelmingly anti-Trump, and then not worry about it being reversed on appeal because the reversals on appeal will occur after the election. It's clearly a political ploy, especially since the district attorney now says she wants the trial within 2 months. It's unthinkable. Never in history has there been a trial within 2 months of a case as complex and difficult as this with so many defendants and so many counts. But what she wants is the mugshot. She's gotten that, the fingerprinting. She would like to get a quick conviction with a biased jury and then not worry about it being reversed on appeal. That's tomorrow's news after the election. That's just unfair.
That is also the game plan. Now, I have been thinking about this. I started to raise it the other day, but so many other things were in front of me. While the Georgia County prosecutor is focusing on Trump for the last 2.5 years, what are they doing about crime in Georgia, specifically Atlanta? Well, to that point, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia had this remark.
This is a devastating day for America. Georgia is embarrassed and ashamed of this Fulton County DA that's abusing her office to go after and arrest the president, the former president of the United States, which is Joe Biden's top political opponent. And I'll tell you right now, in the state of Georgia, I met with GEMA last week. This is a statistic that everyone needs to understand. In the state of Georgia, a child is sold for sex. A child is sold for sex over 7,200 times every single month. But here, this disgrace of an attorney, the Fulton County DA, Fani Willis, is abusing her power to go after and arrest Trump. She's not using her power of prosecution to go after child sex traffickers, go after gang members that are linked to the Mexican cartels. She's not doing this to go after murderers. We have the same murder rate as Chicago. This
What's
is an embarrassment.
What she's saying is she's doing nothing about our crime. All right, now let's turn our attention to Hunter and Joe Biden.
Well, the House Oversight Committee releasing a new report detailing 16 specific times that President Biden made false claims about his family's business schemes. Here are just a few of Biden's remarks that the committee is calling out.
never discussed my business or their business, my sons or daughters. I never discussed a single thing with my son about anything having to do with Ukraine. I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
There's this testimony now where one of your son's former business associates is claiming that you were on speakerphone a lot with them talking business. Is that what?
Never talk business to anybody. And I knew you'd have a lousy question.
Well, why is that a lousy question?
Because it's not true.
Not true, and yet how many times do we have evidence now that he did? Doesn't say he took money. We don't have that evidence pinned down yet. But he lied repeatedly about talking to his son about the business. South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace, I should say, is on the House Oversight Committee.
I guess there's nothing like a little pay to play amongst friends, I suppose, if you're Joe Biden and the Biden family. This is every time this guy has been asked a question about the Biden family businesses or his son's businesses, he has lied about it. If everything you're doing is above board and legal, why lie about it? If everything you're doing is above board, why use a pseudonym? Why have your son on a plane when you're going to China when he's going to see clients of his in China? I mean, why is all this happening? And none of it happens without Joe Biden.
None of it happens without Joe Biden. And Hunter Biden has been documented traveling with Daddy on Air Force Two to 13 different countries. Congressman Jason Smith of Missouri on the Hunter Biden issue.
We had that WhatsApp message that the whistleblowers brought forward to us that was from Hunter Biden to a Chinese business partner saying, we need to hear from you immediately. I'm seated right next to my father waiting. It's just there's so many lines to it, and we're starting to connect the dots. But we're following the facts, and it's going to lead to something that may not be the most fitting for the president of the United States.
Probably will not be the most fitting. Well, let's do listen to a question posed by Fox to Saul Weisenberg, who had been a former deputy of independent counsel.
Here's an email from April of 2010 from Hunter Biden to his business associate, Mark Doyle, in which he says, how about we go over around May 10th? JRB, which we assume is Joe R. Biden, will be in Madrid, and I can catch a ride with him and fly over to Serbia and back with you. That obtained exclusively by Fox News Digital. I mean, is that evidence there, Saul, to your mind, that he was using Air Force Two like a private airline?
It sure seems like it. Again, there's a lot of what you can do in Washington if you're part of the political class or a family member of a politician that unfortunately is not illegal. But it's definitely part of the picture. And look, this is something that our own government officials in the Obama administration were concerned about. The diplomat, I think his name was George Kent, in the Ukraine, he raised concerns about it. And basically, nobody could talk to Joe Biden about it. He'd apparently get upset when you talk about him. There's an official high in the Energy Department that raised the concern that, wait a minute, we've got an anti-corruption message that we're trying to purvey in the Ukraine, and we've got the vice president's son working for the most corrupt company. So that's a problem.
That is a problem. Coming up, more on the Trump charges in the next hour. And also, Randy Tober on CDC guidelines for COVID. And the George Soros agenda next. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Everyone pretty much knows the name George Soros, of course, leading the Open Society Foundation they created. $14 billion, supposedly, to promote democracy and human rights in more than 120 countries. But here in the U.S., we're seeing mostly that money being spent to dismantle our country. And someone who's been documenting a lot of the Soros agenda, and in fact wrote a book titled The Soros Agenda, is our guest, Dr. Rachel Enrenveld. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's begin on the overall look. I know you also have a piece where Elon Musk, of course, is threatening to sue George Soros over free speech. But before I get into that, Soros has been pushing, and you're very familiar with his history, that he's going to remake the nation, remake the country, and everything's going to be better. What is your perspective?
Well, better according to his definition, not to the definition of either our founding fathers or the American people, most of them anyway.
Well, and he's targeting, he claims, I mean, that he wants to basically make things better. And they quickly in his book, In Defense of Open Society, he began to complain that right-wing attacks are trying to shut him down, and it's because of he wants open society, progressive politics, and his Jewish background. That's a crock. That's a crock.
First of all, it has nothing to do his ideas and the policies that he's promoting, and whatever he's doing has nothing to do with the religion he was born into, which he actually denounced.
Right.
He said that he's agnostic. So everything that he does has nothing to do with the religion he was born into. He's using the religion he was born into as a shield against those who attack his policies to say, well, they are anti-Semites. No, it has nothing to do with that. And he's actually, by doing that, he's increasing anti-Semitism. So no, you can criticize Soros' policies, that's fine. Nothing to do with the religion he was born into. Nothing.
Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the religion, but the point I was getting at, he creates all these smoke screens,
yes,
and he talks about open society, which you think would be free speech, but in your book you point out he's not doing that with Elon Musk, right?
No. You have to, when you look at what Soros is preaching, when he talks about open society, translate it immediately in your mind, that he means actually closed society, controlled society.
Right.
When he speaks about free speech, no. it's free speech to him. He can speak freely. You cannot.
Correct.
Everything is really the projection. Everything is the opposite, okay? And it's similar to George Orwell's newspeak, if you want. Everything has a different meaning than what it used to be. Corruption of the language. So this is what we see the Biden administration too, right? So it started with political correctness during the Obama administration, a little bit also during Bush, but it really progressed during the Obama administration, and now with the Biden administration is completely out of hand. It's really the censorship and intimidation of free speech and punishment also of free speech.
Well, to that extent, so, you got Elon Musk suing because of free speech. Explain that.
Well, yeah. Elon Musk said that he will sue NGOs, not-for-profit organizations that Soros is funding, which are working to limit, control, and censor free speech. It sounds very good, but it will not be very easy to challenge in court. They will have to have very good First Amendment lawyers. Now, there is also difficulty with getting very good lawyers to work on these issues, and I hope that I alone can actually do that. He certainly has the money. Because most defamation lawyers, big offices with expertise on this issue are on retainer from George Soros. So it's very difficult to get somebody to do it.
And it even goes beyond free speech, because it's, some of these NGOs, backed by the Open Society Foundation, George Soros, pushing a censorship agenda in Ireland and Scotland.
Absolutely.
Police searches of homes.
Absolutely. Well, that's really, he's been very active before in Ireland with promoting abortion, for example. Yeah, he has been very active in open borders and stuff like that. But what he's doing, the Open Society Foundations for decades now have had training, special training for journalists on how to identify so-called hate speech. Okay? So there have been actually, indoctrinating many, many young people all over the world, to do the work that is being now widely spread, and actually governments are doing it too. So this is not something new. It just this week I think the University of Austin in Texas had just opened, is funding a new faculty where they will be training young journalists to identify disinformation. And
let me stop you there. They're really being trained to create a lie and build a story around hate speech.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to go and to identify people, and they develop all kinds of technologies to identify people, spy on people, and stop their ability to express themselves. So anybody who is opposing their ideas will be identified, canceled, and who knows, maybe punished too.
You're listening to Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, author of The Soros Agenda. You also have had your own run-in with them previously, in the sense that you have seen the Soros Foundation and some of the others that they've had at their disposal go on attack against you, trying to silence you and others from doing anything that might expose George Soros.
Well, that's the modus operandi. I mean, that's how they operate. If you write anything about them, okay, so if you are a public figure, then you are an anti-Semite. If you are not actually in public office, so they cannot call you an anti-Semite, then they will go after you and try to cancel you from and badmouth you and defame you in other ways. So it will be difficult for you to progress in academia or in whichever other work that you are doing. If you are a physician and you oppose the government dictum on COVID, for example, then you have problems, right?
So if he had his way, everything would be shut down unless he clears it for free speech.
Everything, yes. You can say only what is allowed by him and his many adherents.
And the threat against journalists or someone like you, even if you are considering it, it chills you in the sense that, do I really want to get into this fight?
No, it didn't chill me. It chills most people. It didn't chill me. I wrote this book. I wrote many articles about it. If you go to acdemocracy.org, you will see over the years many articles.
Right, about 1,500. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you. There are others out there that say, yes, I can't put up with that fight. I mean, I just have to fold and go somewhere else.
Not only that. Where do you go? You shut up. People who used to work for anything to do with Soros, afraid to speak up, afraid to say anything, even if they are not being identified, they just fear is a very important component in the strategy. fear and intimidation.
Well, let me get your insight on what he's done on funding prosecutors across the U.S. who are basically saying no bail, low bail, open the prisons.
Well, it started actually with, he started to challenge the legal system in the United States. That was the first thing that he has done since he started his Open Society Institute in Manhattan in 1994. The first thing he did was to try and legalize all drugs, and at the time it was unthinkable and unacceptable. But he wanted to see, because it was so unacceptable and unthinkable, he tried to challenge that to see how far can he push the American public, the values of the American people, okay?
Right.
And he managed actually to challenge it successfully. So then he went on from there. The second thing was open borders, assistance for illegal migrants.
Right.
So he moved slowly, and he moved from state to state, from city to city, from big city to big city. That's how he operated. He didn't go to Congress, lobbying Congress to change the laws. No. He worked with grassroots organizations that he funded all over the country. And this is the way that he has been working on funding the election of DAs. This local, everywhere, right? In states, in cities, and wherever you have an elected official, somebody who's running for office, Democratic Party, they could get sources money, of course, with the idea that they will actually advance the Soros agenda.
Yeah, you got the money to buy the office, pretty much. I want to thank you. We're right up against the clock, but I want to thank you very much, Dr. Rachel Ann Rutfeld, author of The Soros Agenda. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And there are some things about Soros we tried to cover there for you on the background, but how much do you really know about him? As you heard him say, he's denounced his original religion. We'll explain when we continue. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so let's go back over some of the history of George Soros. You hear all the disgusting things he's doing to our nation, and I'm not going to give him any pass on any of the things he's doing. And as you heard Dr. Anfreld point out in her book and in her comments as well, everything he says sounds utopian and good, but it's not. Is not an open society. If anything, right now, for this country, it's open the jails, open jail. And the background and history of this man is somewhat complicated, and yet at the same time, it's not. George Soros is now 93 years of age, 93. Hungarian American. Born in Hungary, of course, now has an American citizenship. He's known as a businessman and philanthropist, and I would say an evil force in the world. That would be my opinion. His net worth as of a year ago was $8.6 billion. That's his net worth after he'd already donated $32 billion to the so-called Open Society Foundation. $15 billion of that $32 billion has already been distributed, and that represents about 64%, it's estimated, of his original fortune. Forbes magazine calls Soros, quote, the most generous giver in terms of promoting net worth. He is a resident of New York. He was born in Budapest to a non-observant Jewish family. He survived the Nazi occupation of Hungary, moved to the United Kingdom in 1947, and there he studied at the London School of Economics and got a degree in philosophy, then a Master of Science degree, and then started his career working in British and American merchant banks, set up a hedge fund known as Double Eagle in 1969. It's funds from the Double Eagle hedge fund, the profits from it, they gave him the seed money for the Soros Fund Management, his second hedge fund. Double Eagle got renamed Quantum Fund. Some of you might be familiar with those. They had something like $12 million in assets under management, and its last report shows a well above $25 billion, which again apparently is much of his worth. Now, he's also known as a man who broke the Bank of England. He did a short sale on $10 billion worth of pounds sterling, and he made a profit of $1 billion during the 1992 Black Wednesday UK currency crisis. So he's got all this money. He doesn't have anything he can think of to do really good with it other than destroy what's around us. He has a book out. I would not encourage, I'm not saying you can't get it. I never mind and object people studying people that maybe they even hate. I think it's a good idea to know what they were thinking and how they came across some of their thought processes. His book titled In Defense of Open Society, The Legendary Philanthropist Tackling Dangers We Must Face for the Survival of Civilization. It all sounds nice, doesn't it? Put a pretty bow around it. Oh, yeah, let's help society deal with dangerous situations and so we can survive. But it's a smokescreen and covered with a lot of money. He has claimed that he is one of the world's most prominent public figures, and certainly he is, and certainly conservatives have helped add to that image. The left already knew him. They had embraced him, pulled him in because he was dumping tons of money on them. So, yeah, they're going to love the guy. They're going to cuddle up to him and listen to him like it's God on the Mount with Moses. That's pretty much what they look at. And speaking of the religious issue, he claims that right now he's under attack by right-wing members of this nation because they oppose his commitment to open society. But once you understand what it is, yeah, it does not fit U.S. values. Progressive politics is what he pushes, and yes, we're against that. And he also claims, he wants to throw in there, that I'm also being attacked because of my Jewish background. That, on face value, is absolutely a lie. I'll give you a reason why. George Soros, as I said, was born in Budapest. It was a prosperous Jewish family, but actually non-observant Jewish family. In fact, he basically called it at one time, we were the most anti-Semitic Jewish home. That's how he described his house. We're Jewish, but we're anti-Semitic. So when he claims that conservatives are attacking him because of his religion, it's not Judaism, it's Soros religion. I'm looking at some of these other things about this guy. He was 13 when Nazi Germany occupied Hungary. And the Nazis did bar Jewish children from attending school. Soros and the other kids were told to report to the Jewish Council established during the occupation. And he said the Jewish Council asked us to hand out deportation notices. I was given these slips of paper. I took these pieces of paper to my father. He instantly recognized really what it was, a list of Hungarian Jewish lawyers. And his father said, you deliver these slips of paper and tell the people that if they report, they will be deported. And Soros admits, I'm not sure to what extent he knew they were going to be gassed, but I did what my father said. His family ended up surviving because, in part, as he described it, we were the most anti-Semitic Jewish family in the area. And later, they posed, or he did, as a Christian godson of a Hungarian government ministry of agriculture who himself had a Jewish wife in hiding. At one time, this official that he was with, serving as his godson, under a Christian banner, went with him to get an inventory of a Jewish family's confiscated estate. Soros later wrote that 1944 had been the happiest year of his life. It gave him the opportunity to witness his father's heroism. Talking about how he and his mother had spent time hiding with this Christian family and even attending their Lutheran church. Well, I'm not going to fault anybody who was trying to save their skin at that point in the face of the Nazi occupiers. But you would think coming out of that, this would be a person that says, I have seen the worst of society. We don't want that. And yet that is exactly what George Soros has been pushing worldwide. We mentioned Ireland earlier, other countries as well. Your main concern, my main concern, is this nation. It's also one of his main concerns. Because we have too much freedom, too much free speech. As you were hearing the guest say earlier, unless you're saying what he thinks you should say, that's not free speech. That's why you have these leftists out there proclaiming fascist. You're a fascist if you take the approach that we don't like. The whole idea of fascism is to shut down dissent. There is no open society. There is get in line and goose step to where we tell you to go. As I said, George Soros is currently 93 years of age. I don't really know what's going to become of the man, and that's between him and God at some point. But I look at all the harm he has already done to this nation, and often preying upon young, vulnerable minds. When you start pushing this kind of stuff, that opens the door to everything else we're now dealing with. That would be pushing ideas that just 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, no one would even begin to accept the fact that you're going to teach 3-year-olds about sex. What would be the value? Why would you want to do that unless you're trying to get those kids groomed to become sexual objects? and stealing their childhood in the process. My prayer is that at some point George Soros will have a come to Jesus meeting. And everything he's done to others will be turned against him. I know, that sounds bad, doesn't it? Where's your mercy? Well, you know what? There are some people and some things they've done. I don't have that kind of mercy for them. They can be thankful there's a God. He has that mercy. I don't. But that brings us back to where we're trying to turn this country around right now. And this episode with Trump the other day in Georgia and the mugshot, and they're all mocking it, saying, look how scowful he looks and upset. Well, wouldn't you be upset? And I like the picture. I like the fact he's looking right at them, that basically says to me, you who are after me have just crossed the line. You know, just the other day we had a song suddenly surface for the general public, and it caught wildfire because it was a song that started driving and continues to drive leftists crazy.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame.
That's a song, of course, by Oliver Richmond. That came out the other day called Rich Men of Richmond. And it has gone to the top of the charts and amazed a lot of folks. I mean, it has hit so many big top recording, attention-grabbing, award-winning records that it's absolutely blown everything else apart. And that's not an overstatement on my part. It's a song that has captured a lot of the spirit of America right now, and especially for the working man, because we have too many people right now that feel like they're getting the wrong end of the shaft. And when you get that, you're not going to get any good end anyway. It was a simple song performed by an artist no one had heard of until just a few weeks ago, Oliver Anthony. It really came up at the debate the other night, and what some of them thought of it. You might have caught that or not. But this song has not only jumped to the Billboard Hot 100, you've got many on the left that just don't like it.
Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to heat, and the obese milk and welfare. Well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, 'cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to. For people like me, people like you, wish I could just wake up and it not be true. But it is. Oh, it is. Living in the new world.
And you've got those on the left saying, you know what that really is? It's not a song about the working man and woman. It's a protest song and it's a conspiratorial song of the far right, the MAGAs. Well, we're going to get more into the attacks on Trump and the Biden story and Dr. Tobler in our next hour.